Thanks, Britt. So bear with me while I set up. But the Lord's Prayer, we started off with the Lord's Prayer this morning. And actually, you guys should all know it, right, off by heart? I think it's pretty much set up from a very young age how, you know, it's just drilled into us. And last week at ID, we had praise and prayer. And we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and the question was, when was the first time you came across the Lord's Prayer? And for a lot of the kids, their answers were, Auntie May used to drill it to me. She made us learn it off by heart in Sunday school, because they used to go to Auntie May's, you know, Sunday school class. And so, so it's been built into their whole system throughout all their years. And many times, you know, we just recite it off by heart, not really knowing what the words mean. You know, it's just like, just roll it off our tongues. But sometimes I like to, you know, pray this prayer, but just focus on each line and just to meditate on it and just to pray basing off it. But indeed, you know, today I want to focus on this whole, you know, this little section here. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, or trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's the version that I learned as a young child. And then, you know, the more modern one there. And then this is the depths, if I add the depths. But forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Today we're talking about forgiveness. It's quite a big topic, and there's so much to it. And I think for Christianity, we are based, you know, the gospel is based on forgiveness. That's the whole gospel story. It's reconciliation with God. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we can be forgiven and our sins atoned for. Paid the perfect example of forgiveness when Jesus, while on agony on the cross, with his arms wide open, he said to the Father, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He was praying to God on our behalf. And so, and I think for a lot of us, this verse is actually so powerful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. That's a conditional if. And many times we are very prone to sinning. For as long as we're on this earth, you know, we will be sinners. But at the same time, God is working in our lives and the process of sanctification, whereby we're becoming more and more like Christ day by day. But at the same time, you know, we have these sins that we always do. But it's just a case of coming before God and actually confessing and changing, repenting from those ways. But he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the conditional if, and he will purify us. But today's focus is actually, as we forgive those who have sinned against us, I want to focus on that. Because many times, you know, we do, you know, have sins that we ask God to forgive. But actually, many times we hold people against the things that they've done to us. And so the word forgive in Greek, can anyone pronounce that? Aphiname, right? So I looked it up. And the actual meaning in the Greek is to release, let go, sent away, permit to depart. So you're actually releasing that person, just as God has released us from, you know, that sin. And so Matthew 6:14-15 reads, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And I think, you know, many times we forget that. We forget that actually not forgiving other people is actually a sin. And And it's illustrated clearly in the parable of the unmerciful servant. I don't know if you know this story, but I'm just going to just demonstrate for you here through this PowerPoint. So I'm going to read it out, and then there's all these little cool diagrams to illustrate the point. So therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Yep, 10,000 there. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay his debt. And then, at this servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So they canceled the debt, yeah. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. So, then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. Oh, wait, there we go. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Well, there we go. This is how our Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. And so it starts off with, this is a parable. It's kingdom of heaven is like, and it's the whole purpose of forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a big aspect in our walk, in our faith, and kingdom of heaven is forgiving. It's you receiving forgiveness and you extending that forgiveness to others. So he gets prison. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so it's an aspect of, I've received forgiveness, I extend that forgiveness to other people, just demonstrating God's forgiveness to other people. And I think that's so powerful. And today as I was preparing, beforehand when I was preparing for today, I thought about, you know, different aspects of forgiveness. And many times when it's regarding other people, as human beings, we, you know, we have these relationships with others, and it's so complicated. It's all great when it all works out, but there are times when people do let you down. And I've summed it up as three aspects I want to talk about today. The first being friendships, forgiveness between friendships, and then second one, forgiveness between foes, like enemies, and forgiveness between families. But so let's talk about friendships first. Forgiveness between friends. Obviously, you choose who you want to hang around with, who you want to get to know. And many times, you know, it's all great when it's, you know, wonderful. But there are times when your friends really do affect you, and they might say things that they don't necessarily mean to say. Or, you know, they weren't thinking straight, or they weren't spending time with you, and, you know, or you needed them when you were in a desperate situation, but they weren't around because they were just too busy, or they just didn't really care. And I think many times in terms of friendships, I was reminded at Life Group this past Tuesday that actually iron sharpens iron, and we do need support from our friends. But yes, friends do let you down eventually, and you are prone to being hurt, and you are also prone to hurting others. But the question is, how many times to keep forgiving them? Is it a case of three strikes, you're out? But actually, it's not. For me, sometimes I'm like, okay, that person's bailed on me once. Okay, fine, we'll give them another chance. Bailed on me a second time. Oh, I don't know if I should, you know. Oh, that person's going to try me up with me again. Okay, hopefully that person won't bail on me. And then three times, oh, I don't know if I'll ever, you know, want to meet up with that person ever again, because you're wasting my time. You're disrespecting my time. And I feel like that's quite hurtful, because I value my time, you know. And so the question is, how many times should you forgive? And Peter actually asked Jesus that question. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Or other versions say 77 times. But the point is, it's not the number. It's you always need to constantly be forgiving, regardless of, you know, how many times. Because so many times we do keep count of records. And it's just wrong, because God has forgiven us so much, you know. He's forgiven us for so much of our, you know, sins and everything about our lives. But the fact is that we also need to extend that to others. There's other examples of, you know, in the Bible. The Bible, I love the Bible. It's just full of beautiful examples. And there was an example of, you know, David and Jonathan. They're, you know, they were good friends, but at the same time, David was a threat to the throne, because he could have like been a possible candidate for the next king. But at the same time, Jonathan, you know, was able to be friends with him. And likewise, Peter and Jesus. Peter let down Jesus a few times, three times. But today I want to focus on Paul and Barnabas, the whole aspect of this chap called Paul, who was previously known as Saul. So you have Saul / Paul, who later becomes Paul, and Barnabas. And so let me read. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so originally Saul, he was like the ultimate persecutor of the Christian faith during the early days. And it's kind of like, in today's connection, it's kind of like someone in the ISIS who is, you know, a clear ringleader and actively seeking out Christians and killing them, torturing them, and just, you know, beheading and stuff. But then, you know, this Saul chap just becomes a Christian on the road to Damascus. He has an encounter with God, and Jesus comes to him and is like, why are you persecuting me? And he repents and he believes. And he preaches that Jesus is Lord, and eventually he has to leave that place to go to Jerusalem. And at first the disciples were like, oh, I don't know if we should believe him. Who is this guy? Is he going to trick us? Is this all part of, you know, a way to capture us? But actually, this Barnabas chap, he forgave him, despite all, you know, that Saul had done to kill all the other disciples, many of whom were Barnabas' friends. And so it was just like, wow, he gave Paul the benefit of the doubt. And later on, they go on a mission trip, and it's all three of them together. But then this chap, Mark John, he was quite young. He's related to Barnabas there. He bails on them and ditches them. He's like, I don't want to continue on with this mission trip. And so Mark John disappears. But then later on, when they wanted to go and do a second round on a mission trip to revisit the previous places that they planted churches in, Barnabas suggests, oh, why don't we take Mark John with us again? And Paul is like, no, he bailed on us last time. And so let me read this bit. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in, I can't pronounce that, Pamphylia, and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Sicilia and strengthening the churches. And so they actually had a bit of a split. They went their separate ways because they couldn't agree on this thing. But at the same time, it ended up good because Paul, he had a separate team with Silas, and Barnabas went off with Mark, John, and from there, the mission was spread in different areas. So that was really good. But at the same time, later on, we find out that Paul writes, he commends Mark, John, because at the end of the day, Mark, John ended up writing the book of Mark, and later on, he commends Barnabas. So it's almost assumed that, yeah, they did reconcile eventually. It's not recorded in too much depth in the Bible, but at the same time, they did reconcile, and we don't know the details. But it's good, because despite all the conflict, they managed to find forgiveness and between themselves. And it's kind of the case of, with us, do we end up reconciling with our previous friends? Despite the amount of times that they've let us down or hurt us or betrayed us. And so it happens. There are personal clashes. You become really good friends, and then suddenly you just go off separate ways. But then I've noticed that actually some people, I like to call them grace givers. Grace growers is the concept. Oh, there we go. Forgiving friends despite the clashes and conflicts, words and letdowns, because we're all prone to that. But the aspect of grace growers, and I came across this term from a lecturer, and he said that sometimes, God places in our lives individuals that, are there. They might be friends, but eventually they really, really test us, and we end up developing grace, to forgive them, to love them. But it is such a challenge, because sometimes there are difficult people in our lives, annoying people, people that you really do clash with. But then you've got the other extreme where they're not your friends. And so forgiveness between foes, the foes can also be grace growers too, develop, it just helps you grow more grace. It's hard, but it happens. They're not your friends, and more like your opponent or enemies, or just a threat to you. The key example in the Bible I found was King Saul and David in the Old Testament. King Saul was very insecure about David, because actually David was quite a lovely chap, and he had all the credentials of being a great king, a future king. And Saul was threatened by this. He saw that it was, he could be a better king, and he was good friends with his son and all this. But Saul constantly wanted to kill David. David could have killed Saul easily. There was an episode in the Old Testament where Saul was actually taking a dump in a cave. You should go find it. And David wanted to go up and kill him, but then David refrained. David's like, he didn't. He chose not to and just let him go. But God had to, just to let God deal with Saul. But at the same time, there's the aspect of Saul wanting to kill David, David running for his life, but at the same time, David just constantly choosing not to take revenge, choosing not to take action, and intentionally just letting him go. And so for some of the enemies, they might intentionally or unintentionally sin against us. You naturally might take a disliking to them. For example, it's a case of, maybe they're just ugly. You just look at them and just like, oh, you're ugly. I don't like you. You just have this vibe that you give off. I just don't agree, because you just weird me out. There's some individuals where you meet and it's like, oh, I don't like you. Or it's a case of they remind you of someone that you once knew that really hurt you in the past. Or say if this guy called Bill, he broke my heart, and then I'm not going to be friends with any of the Bills in the future now because of this previous emotional trauma. These deep-rooted issues that haven't been dealt with in my past, they linger in my future. And so these emotional traumas cause me to not like them and for them to automatically, by default, become my enemies or foes. Yeah, Yong Soi. I decided to put the word Chinese in there because actually it's really true. Because sometimes we do look at someone and we're like, oh, that person. So in Chinese, it's Yong, so the appearance, the face, is bad, is ugly. And so many times we do judge others by that. And there was this one time, okay, so, Okay, so there was this episode whereby there was a student a few years ago that there's a student, and she had a stalker, and it was quite scary because she's walking home, she lived in Sallyoke, and there was a stalker who was stalking Chinese girls in Sallyoke student village. And it's quite scary because it was during the winter time and it was always quite dark, and he'd be lingering around in the Aldi car park. And eventually there was one time she reported him to the police, and several other Chinese girls reported him, and they managed to build up a case against him. But she was called to be a witness in the law court, and she was really scared about it, so she asked me to come and support her. So then I went, but she had to go into the witness booth, but I had to just sit as an outsider, just watching in. And it was really scary because even though she was all like boxed in so that the person, the offender, couldn't see who was the witness, because she just wanted to protect her identity, right? But at the same time, the creepy man could see my face, and I'm like, oh. So I was like, because I'm a Chinese girl, and he blatantly, he confessed and said, yes, I've got a thing for Chinese women, for Chinese girls. I just find them very beautiful, and I just want to get to know them. And I'm like, ugh, just covering my face and hiding my identity. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, kind of freaked out by it because he is my friend's foe, and naturally I am judging him. And what's interesting is he just like randomly appears. So there was one time I was walking to Sainsbury's in Sallyoke, and I was crossing the street, and it was him, and he just like tries to make small talk, and I'm like freaking out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just hyperventilating. And then by the time I crossed the road going to Sainsbury's, I'm like dying, and I'm like, but I'm like dying, I just saw the creepy man. And then there were a few times when, you know, I just happened to see him, and I'm like freaking out. But actually the other day I was on the bus, and he got off somewhere, and I saw him. And actually, I started to forgive him, because actually, at the end of the day, I know that he wants to get better, and he had a restraining order. He was banned from Sallyoke area. But at the same time, I tried to think, maybe this guy actually has a bit of problems inside, and he has some deep-rooted issues that he needs to deal with. Once God like convicted me, actually my perspective started to shift and started to change. And so I think when I saw him the other day, I just prayed for him. Like, I didn't pray out loud. I wasn't like, yeah, brother, come pray. But it was the case of, God, why don't you just bless him? Why don't you just help him to move forward and not just find his pastime of like stalking women, Chinese girls? And so there's a case of, you know, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Your foes, or your friend's foes, or, you know, just forgive. Keep forgiving. And then we have forgiveness between family members. And actually, this section, the whole aspect of family, it's so personal, because sometimes we may not necessarily talk about family. We might talk about them positively, but all the bad stuff we may not try and talk about. And there's a saying, you can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, you can pick flowers, but you can't pick family members, because, you know, you just have them by default. And And the family members actually know how to push your buttons constantly. You know, they'll know how to tick you off. They'll know how to, like, purposely get in the way. But then at the same time, they know how to help you. And there's definitely a lot of conflicts in families, and it's not always spoken about. It's usually, for Chinese, for my family, we usually just brush it under the carpet and pretend that everything's good, and we never really talk about, oh, you said this and it really hurt, you know, but rather we just, like, for my family, it's a case of just holding it in and sulking. Very passive-aggressive, I know, but, and I think it's really hard to forgive family members, and especially between siblings, or even for parents, Chinese parents, I must admit, it can be quite challenging because of the whole different culture aspect. They're from a different generation, they're from a different culture, and yet they're trying to raise these kids in UK, in a different culture, and there's language issues. And so I think, you know, there's always going to be that tension there between family members. And it's definitely really hard to forgive. And I don't know about marriage, but from what I hear, there's always going to be bickering between husbands and wives and the aspect of fights. But then at the same time, having to learn about that and talk it out and communicate and to forgive. So there's the parable of the prodigal son, and it's such a pivotal parable in the Bible, and it demonstrates so much goodness. So let me just go through it in case you don't know about this parable. So there was a man who had two sons. Boom. Okay. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Yeah, money there. Divided. Okay. And then, there we go. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole land, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Oh, no, sorry, forgot to click. There we go. He pretty much burned all that money, and he went and found a job with pigs. Yeah, pig emoji, love them. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your servant. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." So he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. That's in Luke 15. And this whole prodigal son story is so beautiful because despite this son, you know, demanding his inheritance before his father passed away, and the father gave it to him, he wasted it all, and he was just playing around, and eventually when he was at the lowest of lows, scum of all scum, he comes to his senses and is like, "Oh my gosh, even my father's servants are, you know, getting better food than me, living a better life than me, and maybe I'll just go back home and ask to be a servant." And yet the father was so forgiving and with arms wide open, hugged him and kissed him and embraced him. And it was just like that whole aspect of just true forgiveness. And I think that's such a beautiful, you know, image, just to know that our Father in heaven also forgives us. And but many times, you know, as human beings, we are sinners, and it is really hard to forgive. And even between family members, you know, some parents, hopefully they will forgive, but some parents, you know, they don't have a good relationship with their children. And many times there are, you know, they go their separate ways. And it's really sad and it's really heartbreaking. But so this is my family portrait. It was taken last year, and since then we've had two new additional members, babies. But we're quite a big clan. And as you can imagine, when there's loads of people, there's a lot of bickering. There's a lot of arguments and stuff as well. But with four older sisters, with me being the youngest, I don't get a lot of say because I am the youngest daughter. And my brother certainly doesn't say much either because of that. But you know, there's always group discussions and WhatsApp chats. It's just like boom, 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 boom. You know, before you know it, in one afternoon, there's like 200 messages. But at the same time, you know, it's really good to have those conversations. But despite the conflict, it can be quite dramatic. But I actually wanted to talk to you about my dad, and hopefully, you know, none of my family members will be listening to this, and likewise my dad, because he doesn't really like to be known. And I don't really talk much about my dad, because actually, for a long time in my childhood, we didn't have much of a relationship. He'd always be working in the restaurant, and he'd come home, and really, we wouldn't say much. He would just be like, "Oh, Daddy." And he'd be like, "Hmm." And then he'd just go and sleep, right, and rest. Or like there would be times when if it's his day off, he'd just be sat in front of the TV and just watching TV and really not really mingle and bond with his children. And it's really sad because, you know, despite having such a large family, he didn't really show much love and care verbally or through hugs or kisses. I remember when I was 5 years old coming home with a drawing, and I was like, "Yeah, I made a drawing in class. This is a picture of you, Dad, you know, here." And he started criticizing, and he was like, why is my mouth so big, and why are my eyes like over here, and where are my ears?" And I was just so upset, because as a child, you know, you've presented this creative aspect, this outlet thing, and you know, and as a gift to someone, you made it, and yet he rejected it in my face. And I'm just like, oh. And that was the start of, you know, just the whole journey of, you know, just being criticized from a very young age. And I think that's very Chinese of us to focus on the negative and not on the positive. And for a long time, actually, it took a very long time to forgive my dad, because he's a very traditional dad, and we all fear him, and I fear him very, very much so, because he shouted a lot at my mother, and as a response, my mother would have to shout to us. And but then later on, when I was growing up, he started to shout at us, and so it was really hard to forgive my dad. Until recently, I figured, oh my gosh, I'm kind of like my dad, in a way that, you know, when I'm at home, I don't really like to talk much because I'm always talking outside of home, and I like to have my introvert time. And then it wasn't until I was having a fried egg sandwich at home for lunch, and I was like, huh, my dad loves fried egg sandwiches. And actually, he makes the best fried egg sandwich ever. And I came to realize he showed love, not through verbal communication, but through giving. He slaved away at the restaurant, and he paid the bills. He supported a big family, and at the same time, you know, that's very typical of a Chinese dad. But then, you know, once I realized my perspectives started to change due to thinking about that, and I think through the recent years, due to having so many new family members, his perspective has also changed. He started to think more about the future, and he's retired now, and he's spending a lot more time with family members, and he's a grandfather to like eight grandchildren, And he's starting to show more emotion. And it wasn't until like recently, so my family had been going through a lot of issues. My auntie passed away, and for the first time, my sister saw him cry, and it was such a big deal. And so people do change, but at the same time, we should still learn to forgive. So this verse is really, really close to my heart. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, just as Christ God forgave you. And so many times, even with family members, it's so difficult to forgive. So why should we actually forgive? Forgiveness is an act of love. Key verse being, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, the sins. It is by grace you have been saved. Love keeps no records of wrongs. That's from the famous 1 Corinthians 13 chapter on love. It keeps no records of wrongs. It constantly forgives. It, you know, it's not a three strikes you're out, not seven times you're out, but rather it just completely, you know, forgives and just does not keep those records down. Forgiveness is an act of grace. We have been forgiven much. We have received and been given so much grace. We also need to give much grace and much forgiveness. Freely you have received, and freely you should give. Forgiveness chooses maturity. Forgiveness is actually a choice of choosing maturity, growing to become like Christ, and it's a process of sanctification, growing up. And this verse, oh, so good. Oh, I didn't put it in. Oh, no, I'll read it to you. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does the work. So it's a case of just maturing and growing out of your childish ways, and not be like, oh, let's be friends. Oh, I don't like you anymore. Go away. And then going off to another person. Let's be friends. Oh, I don't like you anymore. Go away. And it's a case of just picking and choosing, but rather that's not the way to do life, you know? You shouldn't just be like, oh, that person's wronged me, that person's wronged me. Before you know, everybody's wronged you. And how are you going to learn to grow up? It's a case of I'm just reminded of the Chinese phrase, dai yin yao dai learn. So big person has big weight of forgiveness, and versus someone who has, who is su hei, like xiao qi, very, very small, you know, energy, direct translation, but basically someone who is not forgiving will keep records of wrongs and really pick and hold grudges. And that is very, very, very young and childish. But actually, we are all forgiven, and therefore we should forgive. There we go. Forgiveness doesn't require an apology. What if the offender has run away, is avoiding you, or moved countries, or died? Does that mean we don't forgive them? No, we should still forgive. We should release them. Releasing them releases you. And there's my next point. Forgiveness releases the offender and releases you. So there's this really nice quote that I really like, and it reads, the first and often the only person to be healed by forgiveness is the person who does the forgiveness. When we genuinely forgive, we set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner we set free was us. So it's not us freeing that person, but it's actually us, because we were actually captured by that sin. We were holding that sin against them, and it's refusing to focus on that sin anymore, and choosing to release that hate and any vengeful feelings that you have harbored. You are choosing to live in peace and setting yourself free. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness and resentment. you may not notice it at first, but eventually, once it keeps replaying in your head and you're like, you're replaying it and replaying it, and before you know it, you're like a broken record, constantly recounting, oh, you know, my dad was like this, this person kept on hurting me, or, you know, that person just broke my heart, I'm never gonna, you know, I'll just keep replaying it. And it's the case of, you know, you're in downward spiral, constantly going down, harboring resentment and bitterness, and we become a prisoner of self when we don't release the perpetrator. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And it's true, many times we do need to demonstrate God's grace because, you know, many people do hurt us, but it's important to choose, make every effort to live in peace. You're not responsible for what others did, but you can choose to live in peace, okay? Learning to let go of the offense unilaterally, so one-sided, you forgiving them. But what about forgiving versus forgetting? Is it the same thing or is it different? I did some research and turns out God forgives, but he doesn't forget, okay? God is all-knowing. To say that he forgets is to say that he is not all-knowing, but God is actually all-knowing. He knows everything. So he remembers that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but he chooses to forgive our sins. Does that mean that we should just forgive and not forget? So like, you know, this kid did something bad to me. He started gossiping about me behind my back. He started telling everybody about, you know, oh, Anzi's really, she really hurt me, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, oh, that person talked bad about me. I'm not gonna forgive him. Okay, and then eventually I do forgive him because I'm really convicted, but then I always remember that kid was like gossiping, always remembering, and I'm really hurt by that. And so we need to forgive, yes, but it's okay to remember, but if the remembering causes me to get more bitter and hurt again, and it's a whole cycle all over again, it's a case of we need to keep forgiving, we need to keep letting go. Learning to be wise in the situation is when we're remembering. So we remember it and we learn to be wise, practicing caution and trusting in God to change that person who offended us. This quote I really like, forgiving is not forgetting, it's actually remembering. Remembering and not using your right to hit back. It's a second chance for a new beginning. And the remembering part is particularly important, especially if you don't want to repeat what happened. Desmond Tutu in No Future Without Forgiveness. And you're just learning from your past experiences, but you're choosing not to let that spiral, but you're choosing to forgive. But it's okay to remember. And forgiveness leads to bitterness and resentment. There we go. Forgiving is not forgetting, but learning from the past so you can become wiser. Forgiving is not forgetting, but blessing the offender. I really like this quote as well. Lewis Smedes in Forgive and Forget. You will know that forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and feel the power to wish them well. So you're actually just praying a blessing over their lives when you've truly forgiven them. Unforgiveness blocks our relationship with God. The whole thing with forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We say that in our Lord's Prayer and just recite it off our lips, but we do really need to forgive others. Just as God has forgiven us. If you've not truly received God's forgiveness, you will not forgive others. But once you've truly received God's forgiveness, you will go and do likewise. not forgiving others goes against what the Bible says. It's picking and choosing from the Bible. It's like, oh, I'll just believe that, but I'll not do what this says. It's kind of like suiting your own needs. But actually, we need to bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So it's a case of forgiving others actively. And then there's this whole aspect of what about myself? Do I forgive myself? Yes, I've got forgiveness from my brother or my sister, because when we were younger, you know, maybe I might have sinned against them, done something bad to hurt them. But then I've asked for them forgiveness, and they've given me their forgiveness. They've said, oh, I forgive you for what you did. But then it's a case of you're still holding a, you know, it's still in you, even though you know that person's forgiven you. But you're like, I let them down, you know? And it's sometimes we need to forgive ourselves as well. We need to let ourselves go, because we do keep thinking about how bad we wronged that person, the things that we said, the things that we did. And so it's not just a case of forgiving your friends, foes, or family, but also yourself. But there's three ways to forgive, how to forgive, to release. And this is a take-home point that I wanted you to go for. So it's actively praying, Lord, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive my dad for what he did. So you name the person for what they did, the thing that they did, which made me feel X, Y, Z. Tell God every hurt and pain you feel or felt. Surrender that to God. So I'm praying, you know, I choose to forgive my dad for what he didn't do, for not being the dad that I really needed when I was growing up, which made me feel such and such, okay? And then the next step is to say it out loud, because actually saying it out loud makes it really official. There's power, so much power in our words. And many times we don't actually say things out loud, but when you do, you hear it as well. And I just think it's really important to say it out loud. I forgive you, Dad, and I release you and bless you. And then the final one, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so, name a person, and choose not to hold on to my resentment. Thank you for setting me free of bondage of my bitterness. I let go of my desire to seek revenge and ask you to heal my hurt. I ask you to bless so-and-so. Amen. And it's the case of just releasing that to God and thanking God for helping us to be free of that bondage of bitterness. And actually asking God to bless them. And so I think, yeah, it is important that we forgive just as we have been forgiven. And it's just one of those things where forgiveness is all part of our Christian faith, and just to extend that forgiveness to others demonstrates God's forgiveness to us. And so let me just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your forgiveness. We thank you so much that, God, you are that forgiving Father who has given us this tremendous gift of grace, your Son, your precious Son, your beloved Son, to die for us so that we can have eternal life. But yet, God, sometimes it is really difficult to forgive those who have wronged us. Forgive ISIS for killing our other brothers and sisters in the Middle East, and or even people that have experienced racial attacks. And I know that, Father God, only you can help us. Only you are the one that can change our perspective. Only you are the one that can help us to release that person. So, Lord, as we come to a time of communion, Father God, would you show us who, if there is anyone we need to forgive, that you show it to us, Lord. Help us to release that person and help us to bless that person. despite all the things that they did to hurt us. We thank you, Father, because you forgave us for so much, so may we also forgive others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of communion, but Bert's going to...